saying, Mom and Dad, I'm home. I'm kind of the oldest sibling of this group. I was here from the get-go. 2005, they met in Ken and Cheryl Collins, shopped twice, and then they moved into this building, and boy, it was a sight. And Joe and I were at a little Baptist church in Castor, and I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was hiding in there, running from my calling. And Paul had been all up in the middle of my business, but I was telling him to mind his own business. Amen. And so y'all know how that is. I understand. So anyway, long story short, we just came. They told us what they were doing. So we came just to support them because we love them. And we got here, and we just looked at each other, and we said, this is where we're supposed to be. I didn't come here to be a preacher. I didn't come here for any of that. I came here to do something. I came here to serve them because I believe in the Jesus in Paul and Ginger Gray. And they saw something in me when nobody else did. And so, you know, I just came. Little did I know he was going to put me in children's ministry. I didn't want to do children's ministry. I love children's ministry now. I mean, I just can't. We served here from 2005 to 2011. And it is an honor to come back to this house, to be a daughter of this house, and to be able to come back and give honor where honor is due. And Joe and I would not be married right now if it wasn't for them. I probably would have killed him in his sleep or something like that. Or he might have loaded up and left. I don't know. But you have no idea what they have sown into our lives, into our children's life. And you can never, ever, and I'm mad I'm not supposed to be crying, but I cannot even tell you there's not a price you can put on that. Amen? So, I'm going to tell you a real great story. It's super spiritual, if you're ready. I want to tell you about little Johnny. You know little Johnny. Everybody knows little Johnny. Okay, well, little Johnny, you know, little Johnny lived down south, and they had an outhouse. And for you young people, if you don't know what outhouse is, it's absolutely that. You go out of the house and you go potty because there's not indoor plumbing. And so little Johnny's job was to go to the outhouse and to clean it out. So as you can imagine, little Johnny loved that job. He loved it. And so one day he went down to the creek where the outhouse was, and he was like, man, I do not want to do this, you know. And so he goes and he gets to looking at it, and he's little Johnny, and he says, you know, I wonder what would happen if the outhouse accidentally got knocked over into the stream. I'll just tell Dad, I don't know what happened. And so he thinks about it. He's like, no, I don't need to do this. And yeah, man, and so finally it got the best of him. And he pushes it over, and he pushes it in the stream. He's like, yeah, now I don't have to clean it. So he goes back. Well, later that day, his dad comes walking up, and he is mad. I mean, beyond mad. He is irate. And he grabs little Johnny, and he grabs him by the arm, and he's like, what? He said, you pushed the outhouse over into the stream. And little Johnny goes, yeah, Dad, you're right, I did. You're right, I did. And he goes, and you're fixing to get a whooping, not a spanking, a whooping. There's a difference. And if you have ever had a whooping, you know it. So anyway, Ty's had lots of them. I'd get up every morning and whoop him and then send him on to school because we just got it out of the way because I knew at some point that day he was going to need that. So, anyway, you know, little Johnny, he said, dear Dad, you're right. He goes, oh, you're going to get a whooping. He said, but George Washington's dad didn't whoop him when he told the truth about cutting down the cherry tree. And his dad looks at him. And he says, yeah, but George Washington's daddy wasn't in the cherry tree. You know, there's consequences for your choices, amen? You never know. You never know. So anyway, there's a few things that I just felt the Lord was really wanting to declare over this house. Number one, I would not be standing before you right now if it wasn't for this man and this woman and what they sowed into my life and how patient they were with me. Because I don't know if you realize it, but I'm very hard-headed and I'm very bossy. And, you know, I needed Ginger and Paul, because Paul would make me fight and mad. We would scream at each other. And then Ginger would be the soothing, because Ginger's just nice. And she would be, and me and Paul would be ready to fist fight, and Ginger would be nice. And I'm like, praise the Lord. So anyway, I needed both of them because I'd have run all over Ginger. Amen? She'd have been like, you do this? No, I don't got to do that. But I needed Paul. Come on. So sometimes you need to understand, you need to suck it up and get over yourself. You have entered into covenant with this house. Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you. Because you need to hear it. You need to get over the fence. Amen? You need to get over the fence. And you need to just understand that God put you here because where you are weak, they are strong. That's what covenant means. Covenant means that somebody that has something that you do not have, that you cannot afford, and you need them. Amen? Well, if you've entered into covenant with this house, let me tell you something, they will fight for you. Yes, they will make you mad. Get ready. If Paul doesn't make you mad, it's a miracle. But he's going to push you and shove you and drag you. And I thank God for that every single day. Because had he not, where would I be? Amen? Where would my house be? And so I just want to tell y'all, thank you. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you. But the three words that the Lord has been pouring into my spirit for the last month or so, and it's just so crazy how the Holy Spirit just puts everything into line. Philip said some things last night that just went right on line with what I'm going to be talking to you about this morning. And the three words that I'm going to be talking to you about are different stages of our walks. Amen? You know, because the first stage is the prophecy. The second stage is the process. And the third stage is the promise. Come on. And each and every one of you in this room, you're in a different stage. Maybe some of you are, man, you're in the very beginning. You're in the stage of prophecy. And I'm going to explain to you what that is. And then maybe some of you are in stage two. You're in the trenches, man. You're in the process. And then maybe some of you are actually stepping on into the promise, or if you've received your promise. But come on, every promise comes with a price. Every promise comes with a price. And we're going to be talking about somebody today that understood that. He understood prophecy. He understood the covenant. He understood the process. And he understood the promise. And his name was David. His name was David. And I'm going to tell you, there was a book that Ginger and Paul gave me or let me borrow several years ago, and it was called A Tale of Three Kings. It's by Gene Edwards. If you've never read this book, you need to read the book. Yeah. Amen. Phenomenal book. Matter of fact, anything he's written is awesome. But A Tale of Three Kings, it will open your eyes to some deeper things of David. Yeah. Amen. And so if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. This summer we were, I guess while y'all are doing that, I'll briefly tell you, I do pastor Mill Creek, Joe and I, Christian Center in Saline, Louisiana. That was my hometown where I grew up, and I was never going back there. So number one, don't ever tell the Lord what you're not going to do. When God began to do a work there, Paul said to me, Sandra, maybe you should go there. I said, I think you need to find someone else. Amen? And I said, I'm not going back there. And long story short, yeah, well, I'm back there. So, you know, God's doing a mighty work there. We will be celebrating 6 years in December. And time has just flown by. Can y'all believe that? Matt Edwards and Matt Burnside and Stephen and several of you used to come down and serve us and play music for us. And Paul helped us that first year to get that church rocking and rolling. And I'm telling you, we are the very first Spirit-filled church in that community. And when we first started, I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was awesome because we were a cult and we were everything else. And I told him, I said, look, you know, ignorant says things like that. Come on. They don't know any better. I said, we're going to respond in love. I said, you give them some time and let them watch and see what God does. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. But he called us to do a mighty work there. And he didn't call us to a bunch of church people. He didn't call us to a bunch of people that want to show up on a Sunday morning and then go home and then the rest of the week do it. No, he called us to build an army. And whether you realize it or not, you've been called into this army. And Pastor Paul and Pastor Ginger don't need somebody that just wants to sit in a chair. They need somebody who will say yes. Somebody who will do something. Somebody who will dig deep within them and say, you know what, Lord, I can't do much, but whatever I have, I will give you my two fish and my five loaves, and that's all I've got. And you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to multiply it. He's going to multiply it. I'm dying up here. I hate this stage. I just want you to know. Okay, now that I've got that out of the way. All right, now. I like to kind of be up close and personal. Praise the Lord. Okay. But you know, I bring a lot of stuff with me. So, all right, now we're going to start first. We're going to talk about prophecy. The prophecy. Come on, some of us are in that place right now. God's beginning to speak things into your life. He's beginning to declare some things because that's what God's doing in this body right now. He's doing a calling out, Pastor. He's doing a calling out. He's going deep, and he's calling out. Now, he's not calling out just anybody. No, he's calling out those that are his. He's calling out some Davids. He's calling out some warriors. I was watching all of them worship, and I was like, that is just amazing. I love young people. I love kids, man. And when you see this many kids on fire for God, something's right here. Amen? Something's right here. Because if anybody knows if something ain't right here, they do. You can't lie to a bunch of teenagers. Amen? And so God wants to do a calling out here. And some of you, I've got a little list going. Today is your day. The price is right. Amen? And so we're going to do that here in just a minute, but God wants him to declare some things over your life, because what you need to understand is when the Word of God goes forth, with that seed of faith, come on, it gets planted. It gets planted. And when that seed gets planted, then what happens is we begin to water that seed. How do we water it? We water it with the Word of God. Because he wants to speak some things over you, and then he wants to take your mouth and your action. He wants you to begin to line up with what he's saying. Come on, but what we do is the enemy wants to speak some things over your life and over your family's life and over your children, over your job. He wants you to do that too, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. What is prophecy? Prophecy is to declare. Prophecy is to build. Prophecy is to edify. Prophecy is to exhort. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard. You don't know yourself. You don't. Look at your neighbor and say, you really don't. You really don't. But he does. Why? Because his DNA is on the inside of you. And he has things for you to do. But you're just like me. You say, I'm not going to sling. You find somebody else. And the Lord's like, oh yeah, you're going to sling. Amen. And so what he's wanting to do right now in this body, in this family, your family, is he's wanting to draw you out. He's wanting to declare some things over your life. Each and every one of you is a vital part of this work. He has you for right now, for such a time as this. Okay, 1 Samuel 16, God rejects Saul. Samuel's crying about it.
Okay. Hello.
Verse 1, "And now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." All right, now I want you to go on and go to verse 6. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Now, Pastor, I want to tell you something. One of the things that he's going to do is he is going to be calling some out, and it doesn't look on the surface like that's the one. I mean, you're not going to be able to look at them and say, oh, yeah, that's the one. Because, come on, who knows? Appearances are deceiving. And so he goes on to say, and he says, so he goes through each and every son of Jesse, and then he gets down and he said, are there any more? Well, yeah, there's David, but he's tending the sheep. We'll go get him, Samuel said. We will stand till he gets here. So then if you'll look with me down in, okay, verse 12 says, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Everybody say, this is the one. Come on, the one that everybody said, well, you know, what good is he? He just tends the sheep. What good is he? All he can do is tend sheep. Well, then he says, arise, this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. The prophecy had gone forth. David would be the king of Israel. Now, we all know this story. David was maybe about 15 years old when this took place. The prophecy went forth. Now, David and everyone around him had an opportunity. When things have been spoken over you, come on, and I told you, God has spoken things over you, and then the devil wants to speak things over you too. Who will you bring yourself into agreement with? Because either you're going to line up with what the Word of God says about you, or you're going to listen to the lie of the devil, because you're going to come into agreement with something. Come on, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? So either you're going to agree with the Word of God or you're going to agree with the devil, one of the two. But when God speaks life over you and then the devil begins to speak death, oh yeah, you've got cancer. Your marriage will never make it. Your child will never line up. You'll always be broke. Who do you think you are? Do you know what you've done in your past? You know the voice. Each and every one of you has heard that voice. Each and every one of you has felt like you were nothing at some point, like you weren't enough, and you've spent your whole entire lives just trying to be enough. But the Word of God says you are enough. The Word of God says you are above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. But either you're going to believe what God says about you, even though it don't look like it, even don't feel like it, even though you're not sure how in the world it's ever going to take place, or you're going to listen to the lie of the devil. But my encouragement to you is this: choose you this day life. Because the prophecy is going forth. I am prophetically speaking over your lives today that the Lord is doing a mighty work in this house. He is raising up world changers, and I'm one of them. I didn't leave this church. I was sent out of this church. And you will not leave this church. You will be sent from this church into the world to change the world for the kingdom's sake. Come on, because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Come on, His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen? It is not about you. So when are you going to get over yourself and your feelings and your emotions, and you're going to move past them, and you're going to step out of, oh my goodness, death into life? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And I don't care what appearances look like. I know what the Word of God says. So I know at some point it has to, by law, line up. Why? Because I'm a daughter of the covenant. I'm in covenant with God. So everything that is His is mine. Now, He spoke things over me through Pastor Paul and Pastor Ginger, and I didn't believe them. I was like, no, women don't preach. Obviously, nobody told you that. Women don't preach. Didn't you know that? Maybe I'm going to be a teacher, but not a preacher. I don't even like preachers. Amen? He don't like preachers either. It's okay. And so as they began to declare those things, I did not begin to step into my prophecy until I began to line my thinking up with what had been spoken over my life. Now, you can stand outside your prophecy and you can look at it, or you can step in and you can say, I receive that. Now, there are two people in this house that the Lord is setting apart today. Two. And I got clearance from your wife. She said it's okay. It's okay. He was giving me the look. Y'all know the look. But I want to ask Joel Gray and Brittany Cook. We'll go get her, please. We'll stand until she gets here. Yeah, we're doing a new work. Joel's waiting. He's mad at me right now. Number one, God knows our hearts. He knows what you're doing when nobody's looking. He knew what David was doing when nobody was around. David did not wait to David's battles had been won before he ever got to Goliath. Don't you understand that? What you do in your private time is going to be reflective when the true battle comes. What will you do when you face it? Will you do like the rest of the Israelites and run and say, ooh? Or will you say, you uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you defy the one and true living God? You know why he said that? David said that because he understood covenant. Is she here? She was tending the sheep. How sweet. That's prophetic. I told you I needed to pray for you, didn't I? Come on, Joel Gray. Come on. So handsome. See, he's a good mix of Ginger and Paul, isn't he? He's sweet and sour, kind of like the candy. Well, Paul, they say I'm a female you, so what does that mean? All right, Philip, I want to ask you if you'll come, and I want you to turn around to me. Ashley, we're going to pray for Brittany first because, we're going to be with you a little while. So anyway, you face me. Okay. Now, I told you at the women's thing that the Lord said to me something very specific for you. He said you're over there hiding. You're hiding. He's calling you out, and he's calling you into your destiny. Now, you have a choice right here today. You can say, yes, Lord, or you can keep hiding in a corner. That's your decision. But what he has for you, sweet baby, you can't even wrap your mind around. And the way you see yourself in the natural is nothing in comparison to the way he sees you in your spirit. So I want you to quit believing the lie of the devil, and I want you to step in and say, how dare you, you uncircumcised Philistine, come against the one and true God. Come on, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in this world. And I don't care what's been said about you in your past. I don't care what you thought about you in your past. Today is your day. You will never, ever, ever be the same after today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Philip and I are going to pray over you. And oh my gosh. We're going to transfer some things into your life. And I'm so excited to hear in the weeks and the months and the years to come what God has used you to do. Change the world. Amen. Let me tell you the great thing about a prophecy. A prophecy gives us hope. A prophecy gives us hope. A prophecy gives us something to look forward to. But let me tell you what happens in the meantime. It's called the process. And the process is not easy, and the process is not fun. Come on, but when that seed of faith is planted and the prophecy goes forth and you begin to water that seed begins to grow, and that seed begins to stretch, and that seed begins to change, and that seed begins to stretch forth. What is it looking for? What is it looking for? It wants to break through the ground so it can get to the sun. It wants to break through so it can get to the sun. Come on, as you grow, as you change. David was a fugitive of Saul for 15 years. Do you think when he was hiding in those caves for his life that he felt like the king of Israel? He had opportunity after opportunity to settle the score. He could have killed Saul on 3 different occasions, but he did not. He said, "I will not harm the Lord's anointed." Because David understood that if he got off the path the least little bit, come on, because he was in, his seed was growing, changing, transforming. He knew if he got away from it just a little bit, come on, it was gone. It was gone. And he said something over and over and over again to Saul. He said, "Let God be the judge between me and you." He knew the battle was not his. I want to say something. Somebody in here needs to hear this. You are fighting the wrong enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your children are not your enemy. The enemy, his name is Satan. He's called the deceiver of the brethren. He's been around since the very beginning. He's a troublemaker. Amen. He likes to breed discord. He likes to bring drama. He's a drama queen. He's not happy unless there's drama. Maybe you know some people like that. Amen? But the process is not fun. The process is uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. Jesus could care less about your comfort zone. He didn't call you to a comfortable recliner type faith. No, he called you to pew-like faith. Come on, if you've ever sat in a pew, say amen. You know, you can't get comfortable. You know, you're like, "Oh, my Lord." I mean, you don't want to be. Y'all don't know how good y'all got it, is all I'm going to say. I grew up on the wooden pew, and you'd slide back and slide down, and you didn't want to sit too close to that one. But come on, some of you right now, the word has gone forth. Things have been declared over your life. The prophecies happened, but you're in the process. And right now you're saying, "Okay, did I really hear from God about my husband? Did I really hear from God about my finances? Did I really hear from God about my children? Because it's not getting any better. Matter of fact, it looks like it's getting worse." I'm sure David felt the same way as he was hiding out in caves, running from town to town to town because Saul was chasing after him. I'm sure he questioned whether he really heard from God when that old man Samuel, the spirit of Samuel that he talked about last night, spoke that over his life. So how will you go through the process? Because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't whine to me. You can't whine to me. Because I know I have been through the process. And let me tell you something. God's not done with me yet. Amen. And he's certainly not done with you. But there is something in just submitting and obeying during the process. Come on, David just submitted to God and obeyed God during the process. Even though he didn't understand, even though it didn't make any sense, even though his circumstances didn't look like it, he said, Lord, I trust you and I'm going to obey you, Father. Come on, we need some people who just will be obedient. You give because you know you're supposed to give. You serve because you know you're supposed to serve. Come on. You talked. If you have never led someone to the Lord, shame on you. Because to be a Christian means to be like Christ. What did he do? What people came to him, and he led them to the Father. Guess what your job is? To do what he did. So right now, I'm going to just speak over you that you're a body of soul winners. You're a body of bondage breakers. You're a body of world changers. Come on, that you're going to be leading people into the Lord in the middle of Walmart. But you're going to have to be obedient and surrender. Ty and I were walking through, and I told this story at the women's conference, but we were walking through the middle of the mall, and of course, I'm late. I'm always late. And the Lord led me to go pray with this lady. Well, I didn't want to. I was late. I was running late. I'm honest, okay? Quit looking so holy like you've never thought it. We have all, the Lord has led you to do something. You're like, Lord, really, it's not real convenient right now. Just be honest. If not, the Holy Spirit's going to get you, but it's all good. And I said, Ty, I'm sorry, I got to go. He goes, oh, I knew that was coming. But come on, what mattered more to me? Me being on, I was already late. Going to be later, might as well. But I'm always late, but worth the wait. And Paul's like, I don't know about all that now. Or be obedient. Be obedient. And that lady said, thank you so much for being obedient. Amen. Grandmother raising a grandchild with special needs. And she was at her wit end. Who will you be Jesus to? Who will you be Jesus to? Come on, because he didn't call you just to sit up in a church house. No, he called you to go out there and be Jesus to somebody else. And if you're not, then you need to check your salvation. If you're not being Jesus to somebody, you need to repent today, and you need to get your heart right, and you need to begin to be Jesus to somebody else. Amen? Some of you are in the prophecy stage. Things are being declared over you, just like Joel and just like Brittany. There were things spoken over them today that the Lord is going to begin to do in their work. That seed was planted. That seed was activated. Now that seed's going to begin to grow. Now they begin to go through the process. There's some of you already going through the process. What are we going to do during the process? You're going to surrender and you're going to obey during the process. That's what you're going to do. You're going to surrender every day. You're going to get up in the morning and die to yourself, and you're going to say, not my will, but your will, Lord. Amen. You're going to shut your mouth, get off Facebook. All your business does not belong on Facebook. If you got something to say to somebody, go sit down and talk with them. Don't put it on Facebook. Amen. I'm so tired of that. Now, this is what I want to declare over the Christian church at Minden. The promise. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord is raising up people in this house, not to stay in this house, but to be sent. He's raising up people. It's going to be the same way it was when I was there. Paul and Ginger are going to be building leaders. I remember when Chris and Jessica very first came here. And I'll never forget, we were doing a girls' conference, and I told Ginger, I said, I want Jessica to greet at the door. And she goes, oh, I think that would be wonderful, because Ginger's so nice. And so I said, but I would love when people walk in this church to see Jessica's smiling face, because she's just so beautiful, isn't she? And she's sweet. She's just sweet. And so she worked at the door, and she signed people in, and she did a phenomenal job. Well, the next year at the girls' conference, we had someone who was unable to come, and so as I was praying about it, the Lord said, I want Jessica to do a session. And I said, oh, okay. So I waited to the very last minute, and I told her. I said, Jessica, the Lord wants you to do one of the sessions. And I mean, if she could have melted into the floor, she would have done it right then. And she goes, I can't do this. I said, oh, yeah, you can. You can do it. I believe in you. You can do it, Jessica. The Lord said so. And she's like, Pastor Sandra, you. I said, oh, I don't want to hear it. You can handle it. And then at the end of the conference, it makes me want to cry. At the end of the conference, every girl that came back into this sanctuary, they were like, oh, my God, I love Miss Jessica. My favorite session was Miss Jessica. Miss Jessica was so awesome, Lord. Oh, she was wonderful. She said yes. But I didn't give her an option to say no. But she did say yes. God is raising you up so he can send you out. Come on. What we're doing in Sling is a direct result of what was started right here in Minden, Louisiana at the Christian church. What Paul and Ginger started in their home so long before that. Because if there is one thing about Paul Gray that I admire is he is a man of relationship. He's not a religious man. No, he's a man of relationships. He values relationships. And he is probably one of the most, he and Ginger both, he's not unapproachable. You're welcome in his home. He's going to be real with you. And some people don't know what to do with that. Amen? But that's the thing that led me to them. That's the very thing that I needed. Is they help me to go through my process. Now, what we're going to talk about now is the promise. Because what happened 15 years later, and you don't have to turn there, I'm going to tell you, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, Saul had died. He was gone. David did not immediately step in as king of Israel. No, he waited. He became king of Judah. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 5, 1 through 3, the people of Israel came to David and said, David, please be our leader as the Lord has spoken. Amen? So David went from the prophecy to the promise within 15 years. Kind of sounds familiar, don't it, Ginger Gray? But, 15 years. He was 30 years old when he stepped into his position, his anointed position as king of Israel. And he served for 40 years. They still call it the City of David. The emblem that Jewish people wear is called what? The Star of David. But David was just like you and just like me. He received the prophecy. He went through the process. He hid in caves. He wondered, Lord, go read some of the Psalms. Go read them. He's like, I don't understand this, Lord. But then he surrendered and he obeyed. And when he did, he stepped into his promise. You do not have to make way for your calling. Your calling will make way for you. I have never one time asked to be, I've never asked anybody, can I come preach? They always ask me. And that's something that Pastor Paul and Pastor Ginger taught me from the get-go. He says, you don't have to do that. People will call you. And they do. I'm going next weekend. I was for 4 weekends straight. I've been ministering. I'll be going this coming weekend to Franklin, Louisiana, preaching in a new teen challenge down there, a women's facility. It's actually in Sherrington. And I told them, I'll come at my cost. They put me up. I came the first time. It was so powerful. I ministered from 6:30. Serena, no kidding, right? 6:30 to 11 o'clock at night. And I had my cute shoes on, so by the end of it all, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. But those ladies were so hungry. God is opening doors, and all of that is because of... Now, in Deuteronomy 6, if you're there, say amen. The Lord has taken you. You've been through 10 amazing years. 10 years of building, 10 years of prophecy, 10 years of the process. The process. I remember when I was a children's pastor here, I had this great idea. It was raining outside and we were doing vacation Bible school. Pastor Paul was in Brazil doing a mission trip. People that are laughing were here. And we decided that it was a good idea to do slime in here. And we didn't have near enough tarps, is all I'm going to tell you. We had tarps everywhere, I mean, but we had promised these kids, and I'm like, yeah, we just won't tell Paul. We won't tell him. So anyway, needless to say, I forget if it was Stephen that got slimed. It was whoever it was really got slimed. And the slime went back 3 rows. We spent 4 hours or more scrubbing carpet and those beautiful blue pews. Do you remember those? And we finally, Ken Collins unscrewed one from the floor and there was one back there and he swapped it out and I said, good, Paul will never notice. So anyway, he gets back and he says, so, y'all slimed in the sanctuary. I said, who told you that? I don't know what you're talking about. The devil made me do it, huh, Jordan? Oh, they were patient with me during the process. We did a skateboard ramp. Remember that? Harley almost broke his arm. Hey, I'm game for whatever. Let's do it. Oh, yeah, Joe was making bombs in the parking lot, and the police were standing in, Lord, those kids were crying, and he thought it was great. And I said, no, you're never doing recreation again. Terrible idea. So Stephen thought it was great. Everybody thought it was great, but the kids. Anyway, so they were so patient with us during the process. But now what we're stepping into is the promise. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 said, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. What is grace? You want to know what Bible college I went to? Philip Baker. PBM Ministries. I listen to him constantly. Matter of fact, some of my stuff is his stuff. I just borrow it. But what is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Come on, the Israelites had come out of Egypt, and they had gone through the wilderness, and when they got to the promised land, what did they get? They got a bunch of stuff they didn't deserve. They got a whole bunch of stuff they didn't work for. Let me tell you what's fixing to happen in this house. Y'all are fixing to step into your promised land. Y'all are stepping into things you did not deserve, things you did not earn. Why? Because you have been through from the prophecy, to the process, to the promise. And so to quote Philip Baker, yes, your best days are ahead. What does he say? He goes on to say, house is full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and more full, now this is the warning that comes with the promise. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. From the house of bondage. Sometimes when it gets good, come on, we forget. Yes, we're not looking back. Those 10 years are behind us. But Pastor Paul and Pastor Ginger will never forget the blood, sweat, and tears that brought them to right now. The heartbreak that comes with ministry. The reward that comes with ministry. They love you. And they mean it. Amen. But y'all are getting ready to step into a land flowing with milk and honey, with houses that you did not buy. Come on, I'm excited about it, Serena. He's ready to, favor and grace are going to mark this body. People are going to go out of their way to do stuff for you and do stuff for this couple that they don't even understand why. Why? Because they are people of promise. They are people of covenant. They are a Oh my gosh. They are God's chosen people for this place in this time. And all of us owe them such a debt of gratitude. A debt of gratitude. I don't care what season you're in, whether it's the season of the prophecy, whether it's the season of the promise. I mean the process, I'm sorry. Here, Ty, will you grab these? Or if it's the season of the promise, God still wants to give you more. Even when you think it's got so good, come on, God's got even more. Amen? He's got even more. If I could get somebody to come and move this for me, please. We are a microwave generation. We think that if we pray, we need to name it and claim it. Amen? We think, come on, let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to understand God wants to take you through the process. Why? What was he doing with David during that time? He was preparing him for what he had called him to do. He was preparing him for what he was finding out that God was going to be faithful. He was finding out just how good God was. So quit looking at your circumstances and being mad about it and start looking for God in the middle of those circumstances. Why? Because he is doing a work in you. You are in the process. He is preparing you, and he will not promote you to the promise until you make it through the process.